Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves.
Hello, and welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Becca, and today we're going to talk about a specific phrase that you've probably heard, and maybe you use it yourself, and that phrase is meeting someone where they're at. And I think this is an important phrase, or rather an important concept when we're talking about leadership. And I also know that when I first learned about this phrase and first started to really work with the concept behind this phrase, it was in my clinical psych training, and it was referring to the therapeutic relationship and meeting therapy clients or patients where they're at. And the more I've learned about it, and the more I think come to really understand that phrase or that concept in a deeper way, I realize that it's not just for my therapy clients or patients that I need to apply this. It's really with supervisees and colleagues and employees and ABA clients or parents that I'm working with or individuals or organizations that are reaching out for consultation. But really, meeting a person or an organization where they're at is a hugely important skill. And because it's a skill, we as behavior analysts are really good at shaping. And so we can shape up that skill or that set of behaviors if it's one that we're not sure we really exhibit yet. And I guess if we're going to talk about this as a skill or a set of behaviors, we want to be a bit more clear, a bit more specific about what we mean by meeting a person where they're at. And when I think about this concept or this phrase, I think about giving a person what they need in that moment, right? Because our needs change from moment to moment, right? What motivates us changes, our mood changes, which is potentially connected to that motivation changing, right? But it's this idea that because we as people are dynamic, not static, it means that we need to flex or pivot the way in which we are interacting with them so that we can connect with them in a way that's effective for them, right? Because when we're the leader or supervisor or therapist, we are serving that other person, right? Leadership is not about, so if I'm leading you, it's not about me, it's about you. Or if I'm your supervisor, it's not about me, it's about you. And if I'm your psychologist, again, it's not about me, it's about you. And so being able to meet a person where they're at, I think is really an important way of viewing the relationship, that it's up to me to flex to you and your needs. And I wonder if this could even be kind of parallel to the classic B.F. Skinner statement, right? Of the rat is never wrong. Of course, we don't like to refer to each other as rats, right? But that is kind of the same sentiment. So what do we do if the rat is always right, right? How do we use that to flex or to pivot and meet that rat or that learner or that client wherever they're at? And I think what we need to do is to start by increasing our own awareness of where that person is. And when I say where they are, right, I'm kind of talking in abstract terms. So in order to make it more objective, maybe I want to say, what are their goals? What do they know already? Where do they want to go? What are their values? What is their style? How are they feeling? And taking all of that information that we can get and using it to help inform how we reply or how we respond to them. right? Because if you think about for our kids, let's use the parallel process of a therapeutic relationship. So I'm, let's say, the BCBA, and I'm working directly with a kiddo, and he is 5 years old, and he has, let's say, 10 expressive words, or 10 words that he's emitting independently using vocal verbal language. I'm not going to set a goal for him of using maybe a full sentence spontaneously, right? Because he's not there yet, or she's not there yet. Or I'm not going to set a goal to have, if he has 10 words, I'm not going to set a goal that he has 100 words. We need to break that down into bite-sized pieces and to move more incrementally through those goals. And so meeting him or her where she's at, if he's got 5 words, I'm going to be really intentional in how I use language. I'm not going to be throwing tons of language at her. I'm going to give her short, concise, concrete statements so that she can get the most important parts of the information, right? Because that's going to help her be more successful. I am modifying my behavior to meet my learner where she's at. And I think that sometimes that comes sort of second nature to us when we're thinking about the kids that we're serving. And I wonder if it comes so second nature when we're thinking about the parents that we're working with, or the supervisees that we're supporting through their learning, or our colleagues, or even our employees. But when we're in that position of leadership, we need to be flexing or pivoting towards what that learner needs, or what that employee needs, or what that supervisee needs, right? So what is important to that individual? And then how can I meet them where they're at? So, for example, if we're working with one of our supervisees at Del Mar, we have different stages of supervision, right? So we use the residency model that I've talked about that builds off of the apprenticeship model that we learned about from Little Star ABA and Tim Courtney. And so if somebody has just started their schooling in graduate school, hoping to become a BCBA, I'm going to meet them where they're at, and we're going to focus on that beginning techniques and skills of behavior analysis. We're going to get really strong and firm on those basics. So I'm going to refer them to some of those basic or important or seminal articles and concepts in our field so they can get really strong on that, so that they have a strong foundation from which we can build. And let's say maybe they're at the apprentice level. So they've been with us a little while, or they've been in school for a little while. They've got a couple hundred hours of restricted and unrestricted hours. Then we're going to start building on those basics. Maybe we're going to start having them apply some of what they've learned in different or new ways, or with different or new clients, right? I'm going to meet them where they're at. And then maybe they're in the residency level. So they've got, maybe they're a BCBA already, or they're a BCABA. And so I'm going to be expecting different things from them. So that higher level maybe of independence, or quicker turnaround, or I'm going to be ensuring that they've got those soft skills or those important interpersonal skills, maybe even working on those skills of meeting their supervisees or their RBTs where they're at. So again, that starts with awareness, really knowing where you're, the person you're supporting or the person you're interacting with is. And I think the same is true for parents, right? So if we have a parent of a newly diagnosed kiddo with ASD or another disorder, I'm going to interact with that individual in a different way than if maybe it's a person who's been participating in ABA for a long time. So they've had a lot of exposure to different behavior analytic skills and techniques. Maybe I'm going to speak to that emotion a little bit more for a new parent. This is all overwhelming, and this is hard, and you're not exactly sure what to do. Let's slow down and let's take it piece by piece. How can I help this be more successful for you? Right? Maybe I'm going to spend some time outlining how behavior analysis works or sort of describing the process that maybe I wouldn't do for somebody or wouldn't do as much of for somebody who's been receiving services with us for a longer period of time because they already know how that process goes. And again, only through our awareness of what is going on or what might be going on for the other individual are we able to really meet them where they're at. And I think the other part of awareness is that it's not just a one-way street. So it's not just me being aware of the other person, but it's also me being aware of myself. So I need to be aware of where, right? I need to be aware of where my own stuff is. We all have stuff. So if you're thinking, I don't have any stuff, I'm going to gently challenge that and encourage you to spend some time kind of being more aware of when you're having emotional reactions or maybe being more aware of what your own stuff might be, because we all have it, right? So behavior analytically, we all bring our own learning history into every relationship and every interaction that we have. Now, that doesn't mean that we let it affect every interaction, but it does mean that we bring it with us to the door. And so when we are aware of our own stuff, then we can decide if and how much we're going to let our own learning history, our own experiences affect that interaction. I also need to be aware of my own boundaries of competence. So if I have a supervisee who's really interested in something I don't know about, I need to be aware that I don't know about it, right? So that I can help connect them with somebody that does know about it so they can get more of that information. Or I can decide maybe I can join them on that journey and learn with them. I also have to be aware of my own emotional stuff. So sometimes when we're working with parents or supervisees or even clients, right, we may want them to be somewhere other than where they're at. That's normal and it's okay. What isn't okay, or I believe is not helpful, is when we're trying to continue to push them to be somewhere than where they are. So this comes up frequently when we're talking about challenges with adhering to behavior intervention plans or support plans. And if people aren't adhering to it, we maybe want to push them to do it, right? And we may say, well, we agreed on this, so you should be doing it, or this is the right thing to do, so you should do it. But if they're not there, then it doesn't matter how much we say that. They just aren't there yet. So how can we take our plan and break it down into smaller pieces so that it feels easier to implement, right? Think about behavior momentum. If we can get them implementing a piece of it, then they build their foundation, they're building success, and then we can add on to it. Or if they're not there yet and it's not knowledge, sort of a deficit of knowledge, but emotionally they're not there yet, then how can we either make a referral for some mental health support or even just name it to tame it, right? So saying something like, this might feel really overwhelming. Is there a piece of this that we can start with? Or this sounds like it may not be a good fit for your family because I'm noticing some difficulty with implementation. Let's talk about that. What doesn't feel like a good fit for you guys? Because again, it doesn't matter how great of a plan we come up with if it's just going to end up in the circular file cabinet, right? Which is the trash can. So meeting people where they're at means being aware of them, right? Aware of what they need and what they want by observing what they're doing and not doing and saying and not saying, but also being aware of ourselves. What are we bringing to this? What might we be doing that's contributing to this not working great, right? Or not working as smoothly as we want? Because remember, when we are in the leadership position, it's like that metaphor of a play or a performance, that spotlight needs to be on the person other than us. Leadership is about service, and service is about the other person in that interaction. So we need to be focusing on what that other person needs, not what our needs are. Of course, we don't want to completely forego our needs. Boundaries are important. We have another podcast session on boundaries, but really looking at what the other person in this interaction needs. and then flexing or modifying or pivoting what our plan is to be able to meet that person where they're at. So I hope that this was a helpful tidbit, and as always, time is our most valuable resource. So I appreciate those of you that are choosing to consistently spend that time with me here on the Business of Behavior podcast or in the ABA Business Builders Facebook group. A reminder that I welcome feedback of all kinds. So you can email me, you can use the contact me link or sort of page on thebusinessofbehavior.com. You can message me on Facebook, post it in the group. I really appreciate any and all feedback, as it's hard to kind of talk to this microphone, right, and look at my computer screen and not really know if this is what's helpful or if this is what's needed by our community. If you have any suggestions, again, you can join us in the ABA Business Builders Facebook group, and I hope that you have a great rest of your day.